So when everybody, are you saying Shelton when everybody's healthy?
Yeah.
It should be McCutchen, Reynolds, Cruz. I'd probably put, could you hit Chisholm fourth?
I was going to say, why not hit Chisholm second and hit Reynolds third?
And then hit Cruz behind Reynolds?
Hit Cruz fourth.
Gonzalez sixth.
How about Tellez?
No, Tellez has to hit six. Gonzalez becomes a very good seven hitter, a guy who's going to take in hacks. Hayes hits eighth.
No.
No.
I would hit Bart eighth, and I would hit Hayes nine.
Yeah, that's right. It's weird to say Joey Bart, but he seems to be starting to
establish
himself.
So you'd hit De La Cruz ahead of Tellez and Gonzalez?
No, not I had to think about that. I would hit De La Cruz behind Tellez. I want that power. Would you want to hit
him? You'd want to break up the lefties and righties there.
That's true.
So you'd either hit Gonzalez.
Do you want to hit Do you want to hit Gonzalez ahead of De La Cruz because you think?
Well, you either go Gonzalez, Tellez, De La Cruz, or De La Cruz, Tellez, Gonzalez.
I think I'd break up
the lefties and righties.
No, you're right. Okay. I think I would hit De La Cruz ahead of Tellez.
So De La Cruz would stay 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, Tellez 6, Gonzalez 7,
Bart 8, I like
Hayes
Tellez
9.
In the 6th spot because that's...
That looks like a major league
lineup.
The second time through,
like I know you never assume 1, 2, 3 innings, but like that 6th spot is still an important run-producing spot. And you know what? I think with Gonzalez hitting behind Tellez, you know what you would still see? Tellez would not be getting pitched around. People would not feel like they could put him on base because you never know with Gonzalez up there. He might hit one over the fence.
So even though the Rays have a winning record and can still make the playoffs, they are in the mood to sell instead of buy, just classic Rays stuff.
Well, aren't they way back, though, in the wild
I think they're like four out, Chris, with 60 games left.
Oh, no. I knew they were way out in their division, but I guess, yeah, four out is not that much.
So this is from... Let me make sure I have the reporter's name right here. This comes from Mark Feinsand from MLB.com.
Okay.
The Rays are expected to listen on Yandy Diaz per sources, Astros, Mariners, Pirates, potential landing spots. Diaz won the American League batting crown last year. He's 32 years old. He's hitting 270 this year. Not a ton of power. 8 homers, 46 RBIs, higher on base percentage. 329, so it gives you a 726 OPS. So he's an above-average hitter, not like he was last year.
Well, I think last year, if you were probably to go back and look, you'd find batted ball luck played a big role for him because it typically has to for a guy. But he's still probably about a 285 career hitter without that season on the books.
So MLB.com links him to the Pirates. Here's the thing with this guy. It's a $10 million contract next year at 33. It's a $12 million team option in 2 years, so not too expensive. Right? I mean, that's in the Pirates' price range.
You'd hope.
He has played a little bit of third base. He's mostly been a first baseman.
Mm-hmm.
So he's played first base all year in DH. He played a handful of games at third.
He's an upgrade on Tellez, but not Tellez of late.
Well, so that's what I mean.
Like, he's not an upgrade on June 1st, Rowdy,
right.
to
so
present
if you,
Rowdy
so
Tellez.
So if you traded for Diaz...
Are you going to stick him at third base again? He hasn't played there all year.
I still can't see them just packing it in with Hayes. The reason why I find this hard to believe is because of what you said. It would solve their first base problem for next year and the year after, potentially. But where does it put Diaz? I'm with everyone.
You mean, where does it put Tellez?
Yeah, where's it put Tellez? I agree with what everyone around the team has said. I don't think they have the stomach to turn McCutchen into a bench player. So I can't see him becoming
their first baseman
and Tellez becoming their DH.
Why are we not critiquing that more, you and I?
Because McCutchen's not having a bad year, Chris. That's why.
But he's not having – okay, but you and I both said about the Brent Rooker thing we would absolutely do
well,
that.
Well, yeah,
because
that's a 900 OPS.
But why should he be –
Diaz is 726. What's McCutchen's? Let's look it up here.
It's like 705, I bet.
716. So basically even. You don't do that. You don't bring in a guy that's – 10 points higher in OPS to push McCutchen out of the starting lineup.
What's McCutchen slugging?
It is .388. He's hit more home runs than Diaz. He's got 13. Diaz is 8.
I don't know.
I just find it hard to believe they would be interested in this guy is what I'm basically saying. If Tellez had never gotten out of his April and May swoon, it would make total sense.
Well,
I just don't see them as a team that wants to
If Tellez hadn't gotten out of
Tellez.
That swoon, they might not even be in a position to buy right now.
Also true.
I mean, it's been legitimately that transformative for their lineup at times.
Here's the last one I've heard. I'm actually going to post this because I haven't seen anyone else tweet this yet.
They're trying to get Tyreek Hill?
Who put out smiley emoji.
So he's staying.
Oh, that might mean he got traded to the Steelers.
You realize how much crap we're going to have to eat if this somehow happens?
If he does this Holik
Chris
Halicki.
Halicki.
From DK.
I always want to say Halicki Maki.
He can name the restaurant in Pittsburgh.
You'll buy him dinner?
Bar tab all night. Eat as much as you want. I'm picking it up. It's on me if something like that happens, but which it won't. So I could literally say, I'll give you $1,000 if the Tyreek Hill trade happens.
I don't think it has a chance of happening. I want it to happen just to see the look on your face.
Two guys. They're in. Apparently, they have a Pirate scout in St. Louis starting tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Nationals are playing the Cardinals. Same thing with the two outfielders, Winker / Thomas. Lane Thomas, Jesse Winker. Thomas used to play for the Cardinals. Pirates fans remember him from there. Winker used to play for the Reds and Brewers. Thomas can play center. Winker, same thing, right field / DH.
Man, I like Winker in this situation a lot because the guy's having a very, very good
season. And Thomas hit 28 home runs last year, but he's having
a down year. Down year. Man, Winker, you put Winker.
Winker's
in the
done at the
lineup.
End of the year, and Thomas has one more year left on his deal. The person I was talking to you about this made it sound like it's more of a plan B option because they like Chisholm's defense and center. And I don't get the impression they think it's going to take a ton
to get Chisholm out of there.
Although this De La Cruz thing now maybe complicates things.
The Chisholm thing that doesn't make sense to me is I get that he's not a perfect player, but he's a good player. And he plays a premium defensive position, which makes any offense you get automatically look a little better when you're in center field or shortstop or second base. That's why Fo'Neil Cruz sticks there. He's a superstar if he hits because it's up the middle. Same with catcher. But like,
I think their lineup with Winker and Thomas would look good too, even though those are not household names.
But why wouldn't Chisholm cost more? It's weird to me. He's got control left. He's not a pure rental.
Well,
he plays a premium position,
because
he's a pretty good ball player.
Because it sounds to me like some of these big market teams that would usually be in on him in a trade
think he can't handle the pressure.
Right.
So just a very defeatist, odd little reason to
you don't have the same type of bidding war that you have for some of these other guys.
No, I get it. I also think it's rare, I feel like, that we hear a story this where it seems like it's that cut and dried of an explanation.
We've reached a point now because of the Rosarena deal, and then the Orioles and Phillies made that swap today. They made a baseball trade.
Mm-hmm.
Moves are happening now. So before, when we would complain about the Pirates' lack of offense and there not being trades, we heard Charrington do this and we've heard Shelton do this. Well, everyone's trying to make trades. It's not that easy. You guys throw this out there. Mm-hmm. Everyone's looking for bats. Everyone's looking for hitting. No one's making trades. It's gridlock. Mm-hmm. Well, now the spigot is open. I mean, there is water trickling out of it now.
Start making deals.
Yes, so if this series does not go well offensively, especially without Brian Reynolds there.
It's DEFCON 1 for them to make a move.
And we see teams making moves, and they're paralyzed. They're static because they're afraid of giving too much prospects or taking on the money, whatever it is. At that point, it is 100% a valid criticism and not just fans being emotional or irrational if these deals are happening and they're doing nothing. Because they need it right now without Reynolds there, Chris. Who the hell's going to hit third? What's their lineup going to look like tonight? Connor Joe hitting third?
Is that like Josh Palacio steps up, the vibes king?
Jack Sawinski.
Oh, no, I'm
Potato
done.
Jack or whatever Brownie calls him. What's he call him? Potato Jack. He's got some name.
He just
like
makes
that.
A pierogi joke because he's a Polish guy. Right?
Growing up in a Polish household, was pierogi a once-a-week staple?
No, we didn't eat Polish food very much.
Really?
Yeah, because, well, I mean...
Didn't
you know,
want to feed into stereotypes?
No, my mom would just... I mean, my mom grew up with it, but my dad, I don't think, was any big fan of it. And then...
Would you rank...
Polish food doesn't really look that good, and it also doesn't smell good. Most of it tastes pretty
Where
good,
would
but
you
it's
put
like
the
halashki
in the whole... Or whatever
Holushki.
It's called. Hanashki.
Henry Hainashki? Who are you, Vinny? Henry Hainashki, yeah. I like a cheddar filled
Hainashki. Where would you... how would you rank the kielbasi?
Kielbasi's number one with a bullet. I mean, it smells very pungent. I remember it smelled up our fridge when my mom brought some back from Cleveland. He was, like, wrapped up, but it still smelled. But it's the best. That's number one. Polish hand grenades.
So that's the
cabbage
thing?
With the ground beef rolled in it. They look unappealing. They smell somewhat unappealing, but they taste pretty good. That's probably number two. Holushki's number three.
Man, you're burying pierogies here, Chris.
Well, I make...
You're really burying.
I put pierogies number four.
I disagree. I put them one.
I put them number four, but I make them the way I want to make them, which is like I filled them with... They're not really pierogies anymore. I fill them with like shredded buffalo chicken and stuff.
Wow.
Like, I don't really like...
Congratulations on all your success. You failed miserably at making gumbo, but your pierogi creativity through the roof.
No, the gumbo thing was an unfortunate picture situation. I took a picture of the wrong version of it.
Mark Cabali was at Steelers camp. Should we be worried about George Pickens? How about Russell Wilson's calf injury, how it happened, how long he's going to be out for? Some other big observations from Mark, a man who you see all the time on McAfee Show, was also on Colin Cowherd's show today. Text us on the Edgar Slatter Associates fan text line. We're live at the HM3 Care Fest 2024 right now. Intern Dom in for Donnie with a headline. Day two of Steelers training camp in the books. No better man to talk about it with than our next guest, seen on the Pat McAfee Show, and now the Colin Cowherd program. The Athletics, great Steelers insider, our insider too, Mark Cabali. Mark, George Pickens had a little mini temper tantrum today. He also had that showdown with the wide receivers coach yesterday. Yep. Should we be worried?
Wow, that's a good question there, man. I mean, you shouldn't be worried if he gets the ball thrown to him, I guess. That's what I was worried about all along here. I mean, what happens if the ball doesn't get thrown? How about if they don't have that number two receiver that could take the pressure off him and teams double him and take him out of the game? Will he just be so upset that, you know, he'll be pouting and stuff like that? And I don't know, it's early in camp right now. Today was... it was a ball that he should have been thrown to him. He would have had a big game. It reminded me of the Bengal game. Mason Rudolph crossed, you know, crossed the middle, hit him on the numbers and gone. Justin Fields just threw it somewhere else. He hopped up in the air like he was like, what are you doing? And we know what happened yesterday. So I would just keep an eye on it. I wouldn't say it's a problem now. It might become a problem if it gets into the season and he starts getting three targets a game and two catches. Then I think it does become a problem.
Mark, we've heard that this new wide receivers coach, is it Zach Azani, correct? That's his, how he says his name? Okay, so this Azani has a pretty lengthy track record and seemingly a pretty good one. He seems to be a bit of a hard ass. Emmanuel Sanders credited him, I think I read a story, with a lot of his career going the way it did after he left here, and he had good seasons in Denver and elsewhere. What's Mike Tomlin going to do about all this? Is he going to end up playing good cop while the position coach plays bad cop?
Well, that's a good question. I never even thought about anything like that. But I know, I mean, just knowing what Zach Azani is doing right now, is you could tell right away he's no nonsense. I mean, he's a younger guy. It's not like he's an older guy. I mean, the Steelers have had a lot of older wide receiver coaches over the years. He's not one of those. And he demands a lot from them. He's not going to take anything from them. I don't know how that works behind the scenes, if Tomlin, you know, sues the ego, if things don't work out. But I don't know if that would be the case because, I mean, George Pickens needs to grow up. I mean, he's going to grow up in the sense of he needs to be a leader of this wide receiver room because so much success depends on this offense, depends on what he does, how he acts, how he moves forward. So I don't think that Tomlin will give him a pass. Now more and more I think about it, I think he hired these guys to say, you deal with it. Maybe if it gets after, it gets out of control to some degree, maybe he steps in. But nothing I've seen right now where Mike Tomlin's going to step in and even step on Azani's toes at all right now.
Justin Fields worked with the starters again today because Russell Wilson was out. We'll get to Russ in a minute here, Mark. Give us a summary of Fields. What did you make of his play today?
Well, he looked a little better. I mean, he's not going to wow you again. Once again, I mean, he can throw the deep ball pretty good, but there's still, I mean, there's the goal line, the seven shots drill. I mean, that was just a microcosm of what he does. He made a couple tremendous throws, resulted in touchdowns, and three of them were almost hit me on the sidelines. And like, wait, who'd you throw that to? So that's basically what he's been doing right now. And, you know, this Russell Wilson thing, I bet you he, if push comes to shove, he could have been practicing. But this is sort of like the OTA extension, you know, 11-12. They're not wearing pads. Practices are shorter. Give Justin Fields some reps with ones. By the time pads come on or even Sunday, let Russell Wilson take over. I think that's the case what they're going to do right now. But I mean, Justin Fields is what he is right now. He's a guy, is a work in progress, has tons of talent. But if he doesn't get the fundamentals straight, he's not going to be a guy that's going to be a long-term solution.
Mark, is it, okay, when you say the fundamentals, is it recognition of what he's seeing that needs work, or is it something mechanically with, like, how he's throwing the ball, the footwork, all of that stuff that you notice more?
I think it's both. I think it's both, really. I mean, I'll tell you one thing. He has not broke the pocket very much in two games and run for the first down. You know, he's really trying to stay in there and try to make plays with his arm. But the recognition today, when you knew there was going to be a pick on the inside guy and knew Pickens was going to be open, and he decides to throw it to Calvin Austin, I mean, you're thinking, okay, you know you went over that in film. I'm not quite sure what you're looking at. Then you see throws are just like not good throws at all. But then he baffles you with a dart the next play. So it's hard to get a read on him right now. I think the consistency is obviously the problem right now, and I think it would be mechanical footwork. The other stuff might come along if you get good coaching, but I think they got to work on him just being consistent and accurate with his balls, because you can't, I mean, if it's third and four and you throw the ball into the stands, that does, you know, obviously that does you no good, and that hurts you pretty bad. I mean, that's what happened last year with Pickett at points. So that's what another reason why I think Russell Wilson would be that guy that, you know, starts and plays the whole entire season, because I don't think he's going to be a guy that's, you know, inaccurate and stuff like that. So that's why I look at Fields.
Were our questions better than Cowherd's?
Well, Cowherd tells me his is ahead of time. So,
oh,
really? He pre-preps you, so you're not going in there surprised at all.
They send a little list. That's very common. Of
what did he want to know today? What was he big on, Mark?
Not McAfee. McAfee shoots from the hip. But
what was Cowherd big on today with you?
That Justin Fields is more of a likable guy than Russell Wilson. That people like him. I don't know.
How did you answer that?
Well, I mean, Justin Fields is a really likable guy, really personable guy. But the bottom line comes down with the players is who's going to make them better, who's going to give them a chance to win, who's going to put in positions to, you know, have big numbers is who they're going to like. And I mean, I don't think they really care about personality wise. And I don't know if national people realize that the PR team that Russell Wilson put out there in March, and he's basically hit every button that he needed to. So it's not like that the fan base were anti-Russell because he viewed him as a Hollywood guy compared to a nuts and bolts Ohio State tough guy. So
Did he analogize the two by going something to the effect of, Mark, now I see Justin Fields, he's the boss you like. Russell Wilson's not the boss that you like, but he's the boss that gets things done. Did he say something? Did he do it in just this tortured, hilarious analogy that somehow ended up making sense in the end?
There's something about him and Tomlin sitting on piles of money and not really worrying about something. I don't know what it was. Hmm. You know, pretty much, you know, not winning anything recently. And more Hollywood-type guys, lots of money, and Justin Fields is, I don't know. I really wasn't paying attention to the question because I already knew what I was going to answer.
All right, Mark. We'll talk again next week from camp. Thank you.
All right, fellas.
That just made me remember of an all-time Colony move when I caught him red-handed at camp.
Which was?
He was leaving. It was the last day I was broadcasting up there, and that was when we were still staying in the dorms. And he had a gigantic pile of towels that were clearly not his towels, that were dorm
towels.
St. Vincent College towels.
Nice towels.
So I called him out on it on the air, and I'm like, Jim, you're taking all these, you're stealing their towels.
Oh, I bet he wanted to strangle you.
And he came back, his rebuttal was, I take them, but then I bring them back at the start of next game.
Was he mad that you aired him out on the air?
I couldn't tell, but come on, man.
He's bring him back?
Yeah, he's like, Linda washes these, and I bring them back at the beginning of next.
So does he just not use them? Linda washes them, and then he keeps them in the closet?
Why take them, then?
They can launder their own towels. When are you doing shows by yourself up there, 6 to 10 shows?
No, they were like weekend shows I was doing sometimes.
Really?
Yeah, we were doing a lot of weekend shows there. For some reason. All right, coming up next, it's the Donnie Football Debrief. After that, we will talk about the chance Justin Fields is getting in the review so far on him. Live from the HM3 CareFest, it's the PM team on the Fan. Football debrief, and it is brought to you by Steel Mill Saloon in Mount Washington. Thank you, Steel Mill Saloon, for signing on to the Donnie Football Debrief. Donnie is en route on his way here to the HM3 CareFest, where Pat Benatar will perform tonight in front of thousands. So Donnie will be broadcasting here at 6, so that means pinch hitting is a man who claims he will win the Fan beer pong tournament next month going away. Intern Dom.
The Debrief, July 26, 2024.
No comment on the beer pong thing. Are you just going to let that sit there?
No, I respect
the hell out of him. He did the paper shuffling. He did the date in the exact style Donnie does it. It was like a flawless piece of work.
Yep.
Okay, now.
Well, I was going to ask, do we have any update on the beer pong tournament?
I was with Dan Zangrilli at the Skeens game on Tuesday, and he is convinced he has a sponsor that wants us to do it at an establishment. We don't know yet if we can just be Fan personalities, if we can have people that are outside of the radio station that could participate.
Right.
But I think the wheels, as they say, are in motion.
Well, that is awesome.
And do you feel like you would be the heavy favorite?
I really do, man.
Someone out there on staff who you think would be so bad that they would drag you down as a partner and cause you to lose?
Yes.
Who?
Who?
I think Callis would not be good.
He played baseball, though. That's, like, the only sport he cares about. It's probably the most transferable one, too, other than basketball.
Okay, but that's
who else? Okay, you think he'd drag you down? Anybody else you think would drag you down?
Starkey.
Starkey's not ineligible because he doesn't drink.
Fair. Bechtold. I feel like, you know, two sips and Bechtold's out to lunch. I think that's about it. Everyone else.
Lightweight Bechtold.
So you're saying you not only are you intern Dom beer pong expert, it sounds like if you're ripping Bechtold's tolerance that you've got like a wooden leg where you store all that beer you drink.
Well, no, I think I could drink more than Bechtold.
No, so you're just really ripping Bechtold to shreds.
I don't think Bechtold's much of a party guy. I think he's so career driven and so obsessed with sports 24/7. Well, I don't think Bechtold lets his hair down.
He's like you, Pony, but without the recreational drug use and heavy drinking.
Correct.
And he hasn't been punched in the face, partly because he doesn't
do recreational drugs.
If Bechtold was punched in the face, one, he'd come into work with like a shiner.
Yeah.
Two, I don't think he would stop talking about it.
I'm not encouraging Bechtold to make horrible decisions in life.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think broadening his horizons a bit would make him more of a colorful personality.
In what way should he broaden
his horizons?
I just
feel like some life experiences, like, for example, once in a while I'll bring up a story like, hey, I was dating a girl who sent pictures of herself to someone who was in the army in Iraq, and when I confronted her on it, she said,
patriotism.
Yes, like, I was supporting the troops, and how dare you... Mm-hmm.
Besmirch that honorable practice. How dare you attack me for this? Sure.
I was recognizing someone who sacrifices for our freedoms. I don't think that Bechtold has any stories like that.
I think most of his
he needs life experiences.
I was running the Wiffle Ball League, and we had to run a guy from a game, and he got mad at me.
If that ended in someone like going to their car and taking an aluminum bat and like breaking his windshield or something like that, fabulous. I want to hear that story.
So you're basically saying Bechtold has to become more of a degenerate to whom odd things happen.
He's got to get in the mix a little bit more.
You think he stays out of the mix?
Yes.
I think that's fair.
I mean,
he stays in his lane. He doesn't put on the turn signals and go into other lanes.
You can also be career-driven and have fun. Like, I was at a party until 4 in the morning last night, and here I am ready to produce into the wee hours of the morning.
And T-Bird sitting next to me is clearly very hungover because he drank an entire bottle of Don Julio yesterday.
T-Bird
right,
was
T-Bird?
Hitting up the Don Julio, and then you door-dashed McDonald's here because you were so
hungover.
Which is
hungover. A risky move there. That's a risky proposition to fast food sent to you.
I would agree.
And you were complaining because the bathrooms over there are locked and you thought you might have a Carrie Callis moment.
Well, I found one.
Okay.
No, it wasn't even close to a Callis moment. And I was only gone for like 10 minutes.
No, I'm not complaining about you being gone.
No, you're a professional. I mean, a professional would have to show up and do this job hungover or not. So you and Dom must be running like the same kind of lives here. He's out partying until 4 a.m.
You're drinking, Dom?
What's up?
You're partying until 4 a.m., Dom? That's what you're doing, huh?
Yep.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And here I
am. Maybe you misjudged Dom.
Maybe... Oh, he might have a chance at Cup Pong.
Thank you, T-Bird.
Only a chance,
maybe
though.
T-Bird and Dom should get together and be buds.
They would make an unlikely pair. There's no doubt about that.
I just think that they could be unstoppable with their powers combined. It's like a weird Fugazi Captain Planet.
The rules that we've agreed upon for the Beer Pong Tournament is complete luck of the draw. Everyone who wants in puts their name into a hat, and that's how the teams are selected.
All right, question. Who are you hoping you get paired with?
I feel like you and me would have unbelievable camaraderie.
We'd have great camaraderie, and I think the juice in general that we would have, unlimited juice, vibes off the charts. And you know me. I have a parlor trick. I'll go southpaw at any given time, which really throws off the opposition when I make them.
And I think Zeiss is always up for a good time, but I just feel like he's just too – the mood swings and the ups and downs would be tough to deal with.
Crowley is a real wild card here. Judging by the pictures of him in college, we know
Fat
he
Crowley.
Liked to drink. Yeah, we know that chubby, pudgy Crowley was out there. I do think for all of Crowley's foibles, the man can probably party and drink and play drinking
but
games.
The having fun and drinking is different from having a skill of making cups and beer pong.
True. That's very true.
Yeah. I'd want Crowley as my teammate if I had to choose.
At a combined weight of 225 pounds, it's Dom and Crowley.
I think we'd run the table.
If you put Crowley, no offense to this guy, but if you put Crowley and Dom on a scale, is that number bigger or smaller than Callis?
Smaller.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's smaller.
By a lot?
I'm going to guess Dom weighs $150, and I'm going to guess Crowley weighs maybe $155, $160.
But you don't think that Callis is over 300 pounds?
No, I'm saying that the Dom and Crowley number is smaller than Callis.
Oh, you are? Okay, good, yeah. Good, good. Okay, that's what I was looking for.
Might even be able to get a small dog on the scale as well.
All right, T-Bird. Twisting the knife after coming back to beat
Callis. Turn that microphone off, T-Bird. That's just cruel.
After coming back to beat Callis in the hot dog eating contest.
Dom, do you even have anything for us here? We completely hijacked it.
Yeah, no, we can keep talking about this. I have something here if you want to get to it.
Go for it.
I just want to hear what you had.
Yeah, so Max Preps released their top 25 most dominant high school teams in the state. The Whippeel had 10 from one district, and Aliquippa came in at 12, and the great Darrell Rivas chimed in and said that no one gives love to Aliquippa, and they should be ranked in the top 5, if not the top 3.
Wait, so am I hearing this
most
right?
Most dominant program, so like a Central Catholic would be on there, right?
They were number 2.
It's just Pennsylvania or just the whole country?
Wait, it's in Pennsylvania. So Central, you said, was 2. Let me guess, St. Joe's Prep was number 1?
Correct.
See, I think Aliquippa should be number 3. Let me try to guess the rest of the top 5.
Is Central Catholic more dominant than Aliquippa?
No, they're not. Is Southern Columbia number 3?
Yes. Wow.
I'm going to guess that like number 4 is probably like a charter school from Philadelphia, like Emotep or something.
It's Archbishop Wood.
Okay, they're all private schools. Mm-hmm. Notice that. There are a lot of private schools. Aliquippa should be top 3. They destroy everything in
the path. How many Whippeel schools other than Central Catholic are listed ahead of Aliquippa?
So North Allegheny is at 5.
They shouldn't be.
Pine Richland is at 7.
Absolutely not. And we're in NA and Pine Richland country right now. Absolutely not.
Yeah, that surprised me because it's...
Anyone else?
No, and then Aliquippa's at 12.
If you just added like 8-bodied players to Aliquippa's roster, if you could just duplicate some guys on that team just to give them some roster depth, no disrespect to Pine Richland and North Allegheny, but if you put them with a roster the size of Pine Richland's against Pine Richland, they would roll them.
But the question wasn't ranking the best teams.
No, I understand that, but it's ranking dominant teams, and who's more dominant
than
Aliquippa?
That's what I mean, so that's why I don't understand why they're so low. What's Southern Columbia, 2A school?
Yeah, and they're the one that people actually do think, you know, does recruiting and should have been moved up.
Well, you say that all the time.
Was Westinghouse on the list? They've been pretty dominant lately.
Westinghouse is not on the list.
I just don't see how NA is really good, but my God, I watched Mount Lebanon win the 6A title not long ago, going through NA, I think, to do it.
FanDuel put out a list I want to bring up quick. Top 10 hardest hitters in NFL history. They have Lawrence Taylor 1, Ronnie Lott 2. Listen to what a joke this list is, and I love FanDuel.
I think Lott should be ahead of Taylor, by the way.
Ray Lewis 3.
Wrong.
Get the hell out of here.
No.
Lambert is 5, with Brian Dawkins between him and Lewis, so Dawkins is 4. They put Troy 10. I don't think a Troy is a hard hitter.
Ryan Clark's the hardest hitter from that team, in my opinion. When you think of hard hitters from that great Steelers defense, do you not first think of Clark almost killing Willis McGahee?
Yeah.
I actually think Ryan Clark belongs in this top 10 list. I don't know if too many...
Jack T. Tatum 9. How is he not?
He paralyzed a guy. That's not something he's
he brought the criminal element, as Chuck Knoll said.
Oh, Davis, Al Davis did not like that line one bit.
Either did some members of the Steelers who sued Knoll over it, like Mel Blunt.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. Ryan Clark should be on that list, if any Steeler.
Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevy. Low of 62 degrees. Coming up next, you're going to hear Mike Tomlin on what's going on at quarterback with Justin Fields starting right now at training camp, and Russell Wilson on his injury